Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, we have an amazing three chapters. It's known as what? Sermon on the Mount. It's a long sermon that's recorded for us here by the Lord. In Matthew chapter 5, there's just two verses that I want us to focus on. I'll let you stay seated as long as we can read these verses together respectfully to the Lord. We're going to read verse 15 and verse 16. And if we could read those together out loud, let's do that. And if you need a Bible or you need the words, they'll be on the screen behind me. Matthew chapter 5, verse 15 and verse 16 and verse 17. All right? No, it's verse 15 and 16, all right? Verse 15 and verse 16. Sorry. Here's how many notes I have tonight. Just the word of God. I'm speaking from my heart. I want to speak on something to the Sunday night crowd. All right, here we go. Verse 15, let's read it together. Neither do men... Now, let's all read the first line of verse 16. This is my text. Let's read it together, all of us participating. Let your light so shine before men. Some people understood the first part. Others wanted to keep on going. All right, so that's good. Let your light so shine before men. Let your light so shine before men. A couple weeks ago, we had the opportunity to be in Chile. There were 16 of us that traveled down. It was a Spanish mission trip. Pastor Arias asked me to speak and to be able to speak in the church that he started in a little town called Lanco, Chile. What we did is we flew to the biggest city in Chile, Santiago. We spent a couple of days there. I want to use tonight to tell you a testimony about that. And then I want to illustrate the message tonight. And hopefully as you go through this week and we get ready to go through the Christmas season that you'll remember tonight. We flew into Santiago and the next day we had the opportunity to meet some of Pastor Arias' family. He has six brothers and sisters who are lost. It's a great burden to him. He was saved as a young man in his early 20s. He was a firefighter. We got to go to the actual fire station where he served in Lanco. And Pastor Arias, he is very, obviously, I think if you understand the gospel message and you know of someone who's lost, you have it's a burden. It's an everyday burden that any one of his brothers and sisters could die without Christ. Well, we had the opportunity to be a light to his brothers and sisters. Well, one of his brothers who lives there in Santiago invited our group of 16 for a meal at his house. And we took the subway there in Chile, and we switched lines with our group. And if you've seen some of the pictures on Instagram or Twitter, you saw how crowded the subway was. Anyway, we took the subway, and then we walked to his brother's house. It was a modest home, like many that you live in. And in the backyard, it had just tables and chairs set out like we would do here at our church. And we all sat around. The English people kind of sat together because everything is spoken in Spanish. And the English people were Joe Cruz and myself. So we sat together and we talked and we observed and watched everything that was going on. And Joe, he's trying to learn Spanish. And so he comes to English church on Sunday morning. He goes to Spanish church on Sunday night. And we had a great time. Well, as each one of the brothers or sisters arrived and their husbands and their children, the crowd began to grow. I mean, there was a huge crowd in the backyard of Pastor Arias' brother's house. And Pastor Arias, I know that none of you have ever heard him laugh. He's had such a quiet laugh. Every time one of his brothers or sisters arrived and their spouse, there was bellows of laughter that the whole neighborhood could hear. And then you'd see tears. I mean, there was a grand reunion as the whole family. We just stood to the side and we observed. We ate a meal. It was a wonderful meal that had been prepared. Actually, in our entire time there, it was the best meal that we had. And it was just a mixture of food, and it was great. Well, the time came, and it sort of all of Pastor Arias' family, they were there to the side, and they were talking Spanish, not 90 miles a minute, as the English expression is. They were talking 1,000 miles a minute. I mean, there's no way I could even pick out one word they were talking. And they were talking over each other and under each other and through each other. They were all talking, and they were having a great time. And I'm telling you that we had a pile of dishes. I mean, because there was over 60 people there for a meal, and they used all of their silver, their silverware and their nice plates and their nice cups, and all of the pots and pans had been used to prepare this meal of three or four different kinds of meat and all the vegetables and all the salads, and there was a bunch of dishes. I said quietly to some of the ladies who were there, and I said, let's sneak into the kitchen and let's just go ahead and pick all this up. And while they're fellowshipping, let's go ahead and clean this up. And so, about 10 minutes later, one of the brothers or sisters came in and said, oh, no, they're almost like offended. These Americans have come in to clean up the mess. And so they said, no, go outside. And we said, no, we won. So we said, no, we're staying. And so I began to do dishes, and there was a couple other ladies. One was rinsing and one was drying. And no lie, those who went on the trip, I did dishes for one solid hour, never stopped. I was like this. I had to have help getting back straight. It was I did dishes for one solid hour. I mean, we washed and we washed all the dishes, and then we cleaned that kitchen and all the big pots and pans, and so a little over an hour. I washed dishes for an hour. By the time we got finished, about an hour and 15 minutes. The whole family's in the backyard. The wife of the home, she kept coming in. She was speaking in Spanish. She looked like she was upset that we were doing this. But finally, it was about time. It was really dark outside. The subway shut down at 11. It's after 10. And so we had to head back. And so I asked the brother of the home. I said, through an interpreter, Joanna was helping me. And I said, could we gather everyone in here and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless your house? Pastor Arias couldn't believe it. He says, the first time in all the years he's been a Christian that his brothers allowed someone to pray in their house. And Pastor Arias, we were walking back to the subway, and he put his arm around me and said, thank you, you just don't know what that means to me. He said, the dishes that you did, they weren't upset. They couldn't believe that you would do that. They couldn't believe that the pastor of the church would be willing to wash dishes, that's a woman's job. They couldn't believe that. And they want you to come back. They want you to be a servant. They said, you're welcome back anytime, and just the love that you showed. And as we were a light in a very dark place, the whole family, all of us, we gathered in the house, and so I said, well, let's just all join hands, and that's something else that just doesn't happen in Chile. So we were all Americans, all scattered around, the Spanish people, all of his family, cousins and nephews and nieces were all gathered, circled around, and they're in the house. And I said, Lord, give me boldness. And so Joanna was Luis interpreted for me. And I preached a sermon in my prayer. And we were able to share the gospel by washing dishes. Jesus said, let your light so shine. You know, he didn't tell us how to let our light shine. That therefore tells me that there's different ways our light can shine. Our light can shine in work, and our light can shine in our home, and our light can shine on going in a mission trip and doing something that is unusual. I'd like to illustrate something tonight. That's why I asked the pulpit to be moved. I'm going to need some volunteers here. I need some people who will help us illustrate how we can let our light shine. I'm concerned about Journey Through Bethlehem. I mean, it's a huge financial cost to our ministry. What if nobody comes? I've got all this excitement. We're going to have 200 people in costume. And what if there's nobody there for them to minister to? How can we let our light shine? Well, the only way we can let our light shine is if we take that outside these walls and we invite people and get them to come back. I mentioned that we were in Chile. We rode the subway. What's interesting is subways are where? Underground. What's in the first part of every subway? A great big light is on the front of every train. And so when we rode the subway different times while we were there in Chile, and many of you have been to China and you've seen the subway there in China and ridden that, and what happens is long before you can hear the train, if you're looking way down the tunnel, long before you can hear the train, you can see what? The light. The light's coming. The light represents different things. In this case, the light represents the train is coming. Do you know what? Every time we go outside our homes, we ought to be a light, and it represents there's a Christian coming. There's a Christian coming. But so many times, we are like the train. A train is made up of the engine with the light. And then there are cars. And all those cars are representative of people that will be moved. Or if you're here in Tucson, there's an actual switching yard, and so the trains could be a box car moving motor vehicles, or it could be a box car moving grains, or it could be a box car moving electronic equipment. We don't know what's in most of those train cars, but we could just see the outside. May I have the liberty to take that and use that as an illustration? You see, Jesus was a master storyteller. I've said that before. He used birds, and he used water, and he used mountains, and he used animals. He was always using a parable to illustrate a point. May I use a parable tonight to illustrate a point? And so what I'd like to do is to have a couple men to come and help me. The first thing I'd like to do is ask Pastor Bond to come and help me. And he's going to represent, because we don't really know him, and so I can do this and it won't be cute or funny, and he's going to represent the Holy Spirit tonight. He is the light on the engine of the car. And so I just want Pastor Bond to come over here and stand over here, and then let's just take, generally speaking, some box cars that are in our life. And so let me just have a couple other people come and help me. And so with that, I'm going to ask if I could have Caleb, why don't you come and help me? And Caleb, yes, you. It's because we don't really know you either, so you're going to be one of my box cars tonight. Cameron and Gideon, if you guys will both come and help me, and if I could get Corey to come and help me, and then let's see, that's enough probably on that side. Let me just see here. Jeremy, you're looking mighty fine tonight. Why don't you come and help me? And then, let's see, I need 1, 2, 3, 4. That's fine. And then I need one more. And then Colton, why don't you come and help me here, Colton? Now, I know some of you are going to laugh at different parts of my illustration, and that's fine, but don't miss the parable. Don't miss the story, okay? And so I'm going to be asking you to help me. So it's going to be an interactive time where you can participate in the story. Now, here's the thing. This applies to you, okay? I'm illustrating something that applies to every single person here tonight. Now, and so let's see here. I need you two to switch, and you're going to be right here, and okay. All right, so this car, this first car is the light, and it's going to represent what? The Holy Spirit, okay? And I mean that all due respect. I'm really not trying to be funny on that. We don't know Pastor Bond, and so if I picked one of you, you'd say, well, he picked the wrong person or something like that. So he's going to represent the Holy Spirit. He pastors in Georgia, and he's skipping church today. So, all right, so I got a good Holy Spirit here. All right. Cameron, you're going to represent home, okay? All right, you're going to represent. So Cameron represents? All right. And then you are going to represent my personal life. So you're going to represent my personal life. So this is my home life, and this is my personal life. And so he is My personal life. Let's personalize it. He is my personal life. He's my? Let's say it together. My personal life. There we go. All right, he's my personal life, and I'll explain what these are going to be in just a moment. And then Gideon, when I thought about this illustration, Gideon carves with his hands, and it's amazing. So he's going to represent my hobbies, okay? So Gideon is my hobbies, all right? So Gideon is my hobbies. And then most of us work or have a job, and so Corey's going to represent my work. My work, okay? So most of us have a job and we have to work. And so that would be for all of us. And then we have church life, right? And so, Jeremy, you're going to represent church, my church life. And so, Jeremy is church life. And then and this is where some of you are going to laugh, and that's okay. And Colton won't be offended by that, okay? Do you realize there's a useless part of trains, and they actually got rid of them? What are they called? Caboose. The caboose. The caboose chased the train around all the time, and it really had no purpose. It served no purpose. It's too late to fix a problem when the caboose went by. So the caboose was just dead weight. So this is the caboose or the devil. You're welcome. He said, thank you. So this is the devil. So this represents your life. This is your life. Literally, this is your life. If you are a Christian, you have a what? We certainly have a good. You got it? Okay, so we have a home life, and then we have a personal life, and we have a hobbies, and we have work, and we have. And then the Bible says that there's somebody trying to devour and defeat you, and his name is the devil. So it's really not cute and funny. I mean, because it's Colton, I guess it's funny. But I mean, it's just, but the truth is that the devil is chasing us, right? He's chasing us in our life. Now, here's the thing. Hey, this is where the parable comes in. The Bible says, let your light so shine. Does that mean only in your church life? No. But you know what? Today, every one of us right now are representing our church life. We're in church. Correct? You follow? Every one of us, we're representing our church life. And here's the thing about church life. Church life is what I want everyone to believe about me. Church is what I want everyone to see about me. Church is that outward where I want everybody to see. So there's one thing that's completely wrong with this train. And that is right now it's completely disconnected. Correct? It's completely disconnected. And sometimes our life is like that. We think it's disconnected. But I submit to you that every aspect of our life is connected like a train. So if all these guys would turn and put their hand on top of the shoulder of the person in front of them, the truth is that every one of us, we are, every one of these aspects of our life, they're connected. And all it takes is for one of them to step out and it wrecks the train. If our home life is a mess, then the train can't go very, the train doesn't work right. But what if I said, you know what, I just in the mood to really encourage people, and so tomorrow, Corey, I'm going to come and visit you at work. And the blood drains out of Corey. And he says, no, you can't come and see me at work tomorrow. And here's why. Because you and your boxcar called work, it's completely different than your church boxcar. In fact, if I were to go to your work tomorrow and I would want to be an encouragement to you and say, man, I just want to see what you do, and you would want to slither under the desk rather than have Pastor Armstrong come and see you at work because you have problems with language at work. You let those curse words just drop all the time so that you can fit in work. And so you wouldn't want me to come to work because you would have to be different than you really are at work to impress me. And then your coworkers would say, what's wrong with Corey? Oh, his preacher came. And there would be instantly a disconnect because that's not how Corey really acts at work. Now, Caleb here, we don't know him, right? No, I mean, there's about five people that know Caleb in this room. You don't know Caleb. He actually is the son of the Holy Spirit. He knows. They'll have a talk after this message. Caleb represents what? Hey, Caleb, do you have your cell phone on you? Let me see your cell phone. Hey, let me just see what you look at. And so I take his phone and I do, what? Selena, you need to talk to your brother. These things that he's looking at, and he says he's a Christian? I think some of you are starting to understand what I'm getting at. The thing is we do have a personal boxcar in our life that we think nobody knows about. It's personal. But here's the truth. It may be personal to us, but there's one person that's not personal, it's not hidden from, and that's him. And whatever's on your iPad or your iPhone or your personal computer at home and you think nobody else knows about, maybe it's password protected, and maybe this thing or that thing, the truth is that while it may not be public to all of us and you think it's personal, you think it's private, here's the thing is that God knows about it. And some of us, we need to clean up our personal boxcar. Thank you very much. We'll talk later. But we have a home life too. And yet we have this church life. We have what we want everyone to think we look like at church. And man, he looks good. Hey, look, come around. This is one of our teenage young men. Doesn't he look good? Man, you make me look really good here standing next to you. Young ladies, he's not dating. All right, here we go. All right, this is that's our church life. It looks good. We have a home life. Here's the problem. Our children know what we're really like. And they see us looking like this at church. And then we get in the car and they know what we're really like on the way home. And sometimes our home life doesn't match our church life. And we wonder why there's a discrepancy between the husband and wife relationship. And we wonder why our children don't respect us. Because they see us trying to act like this at church, but they know this is what it's really like at home. The reason that some of you have never invited a coworker to this church is not because you're ashamed of your church. You would be ashamed of your coworker seeing you act like this at church. Do you understand? Some of us have such a terrible testimony at work. We say we're a Christian, but our life is otherwise. And so we cannot invite a coworker to church. Our work life has to stay separate from church, because if I came to church and I look like this, our coworkers would scratch their head and say, "Who is that?" But then we have our hobbies. A lot of times we have hobbies, and our hobbies are in direct conflict with our light shining, because our hobbies take us away from what is important. Now, hobbies are not wrong. Now, I don't want anyone to misrepresent this illustration. We all have hobbies. Some like to fish, some like to hunt, some like photography, and others, they like to gossip. And I mean, we all have hobbies, okay? We all have things that we enjoy. But what if our hobbies take us away from the main thing, and that is that our light is to shine? Now, there's the devil. What does 1 Peter 5 say about the devil? He's a lion. He roars and he walks about seeking whom he may devour. Now, I put these in a particular order. Here's the thing. The devil, if he can destroy your church life, he certainly makes you ineffective at work. Then your hobbies become empowered, because what if I don't have a good work life, a good church life, I can invest all my time and energies in my hobby. And so what happens is the devil works his way up, destroying each one until ultimately he destroys your home. And when we've lost our home, we've lost everything. And so the devil walks about or runs about seeking whom he may devour in the train of life. I'd like to ask you, how's your light shining? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. A lot of times we hear that phrase, good works, and we get uncomfortable because we know that salvation is not wrought by good works. Amen? Now, once we're saved, our whole life is about good works. At the moment of salvation, please understand, at the moment I'm saved, my life is all about my good works. What do I do for Christ? Everyone's going to see. They see my home life. My wife or my husband see my home life. My children and my grandchildren see my home life. My private life, I think, is personal to me, but you know what? God still sees it. And certainly I have hobbies that oftentimes take me away from church. Do you know what I submit to you? There's a lot of people who have hobbies that are not important because look around. We had twice as many people at church this morning that we have tonight. Now, I realize that someone will rebuke me and say, well, somebody had a hard time driving at nighttime. I'm not talking about that. But there's people that stayed home to watch football. There's people who stayed home to watch basketball. There's people that stayed home to go shopping, and they're not back tonight. Their hobbies took them away. And then we have every one of us, unless we're retired, we have a work life. And in that work life, there are other people who have every day the opportunity to see Christ in us, to let our light so shine. But instead of seeing that, they hear us talk the same filth and garbage. And that's why you would never want Pastor Armstrong to come and see you at work. But may I just submit to you, the Holy Spirit comes every day. It doesn't matter if Pastor Armstrong's there. If you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit is going there. The problem is your light is so dim that nobody can see the Holy Spirit. In church, it's what we want everyone to think we are. It's the easiest one to be a hypocrite. It's our church life. The thing is that when we go get in our car, the people we came to church with, they know what we're really like. And the thing is that you know what you're really like at church. And does it match? Does my church life match my work and my hobbies and my personal life and my home life? Does it match? Does this whole car? Here's the thing. When we saw the choo-choo train or the subway coming in Chile, here's what we saw. We saw a brilliant light shining down the tunnel. There was no mistake of this. Before we could ever hear anything, there was no mistake. The train was coming. I ask you, is your light bright or dim? Can someone see you coming long before they hear you? Because your light, through the working of the Holy Spirit, is so bright. Man, thank you so much for helping me tonight. Hopefully you're okay with your holding arms up. Let's thank these guys for helping me tonight. I appreciate it. Thank you guys so much. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let's all say that together, please. We'll say the first two lines tonight. With enthusiastic, we just heard the message. We're getting ready to go into Christmas season. Next week is December. Next week, there's a transformation that takes place in our auditorium. Next week is as our focus is about journey through Bethlehem. Next week is an opportunity, or as we begin, get up tomorrow morning, it's an opportunity for our light to shine. And maybe through this parable that we've told tonight, we can understand that all of our boxcars have to be in a line. We've got to get rid of the caboose. Do you know that trains don't have cabooses now? They're dead weight. They're of no value. We've got to get rid of the caboose. We've got to get rid of the devil chasing us in our life. Let's say it together. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. That they may see your good works. That's right. Thank you for your help, buddy. How's your light? Is it shining? Is it bright? Or is it dirty? We have those different areas of our life that we need to work on. The truth is, all of us need to work in some area of our life, correct? All of us. Because our light gets dim when one of those areas of our life is not correct. So let's work on the train. Let's work on the boxcars. Here's the thing. If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit's already there. But you have the ability to, the Bible says, to quench. That means to minimize, to hide. You have the ability, if the other boxcars aren't in a line, if the other boxcars aren't correct, you have the ability to quench or dim the light. Some of you tonight have a dim light. Some of you have a bright light. And some of you have a medium light. I submit to you that we ought to work on the different boxcars of our life and get them right. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed as we stand together. Standing together, heads bowed and eyes closed. You say, Pastor, you didn't preach a three-point message. Well, sometimes it's better to use an illustration than to preach a three-point message. My prayer is that you, as you leave here, you will never forget this illustration. And that the Holy Spirit that's leading your life might stir up in your heart the necessity to clean up some of your boxcars. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm asking you tonight, what do you need to clean up? Can you cut the caboose out of your life? Can you work on your home life and your personal life? Can you just set aside those things that you've done wrong at work and say, you know what, tomorrow when I go to work, they are going to see a difference, not because Pastor Armstrong's coming to visit me at work, but because the Holy Spirit's already here in my heart and life. And I'm going to be different. I'm going to get rid of those cuss words. I'm going to get rid of those dirty jokes. I'm going to get rid of that, whatever is causing you to have a bad testimony in work. And maybe some of you need to just have an honest discussion at home, and dad just needs to apologize to the family for not being the dad he's supposed to be to the children, or husband and wife, before you kiss each other goodnight and fall asleep, that you just say, you know what, Pastor Armstrong's message just really challenged me. We need to work on our marriage, and let's do that. Let's have a train where the light is bright. So my question to you is, what will you do with the message?